How many of you want to hear from God? Like, is that on your priority list? Like, it's important for me to hear from God. That's sweet. If you want God's will for your life, great news that you do. I have to warn you something about this, though. Like, you've probably experienced it, but when God speaks to you, he'll often ask you to do something that you don't want to do. Have you been there? Like, I've been there. Like, God, I know you're walking this way, and I'm going with you, but I don't know if I'm ready for this. We're going to see this in our message today. How many of you basically know the story of Jonah? Yeah? This is the participant. I want to get you moving, because when you start moving, then your brain starts going, and you learn more things. Most people know the basics, especially if you've been around church, right? God calls Jonah to preach the message to some people that he doesn't want to, and so he runs from God, and in his running, he gets thrown into the water, and a big fish swallows him up, and then vomits him up on the shore, and then he preaches, and they repent, and everybody lives happily ever after, right? That's the story that most of us know. But there's so much more to this story. There are layers and layers and layers that will speak to you in your everyday life and inspire you to be closer to God and to posture and position you to be used by God. And so I want to build a foundation, and then we're going to go through the book of Jonah, verse by verse. So let's start with the beginning, with the basics. Who is the main character in the book of Jonah? Any thoughts? Sorry? Jonah? Yeah, most people would think that. He's kind of there a lot. Yeah, Ella's got it. Lots of people would say the fish, right? The big fish. And how cool is that, except for if you read the whole book, like three verses right in the middle involves the fish. He's not really a main character, just that pivotal moment. Actually, the Ella's got it. The main character in this story is the Lord. It's God. God is the center of this story. He's the main character. In fact, the story starts this way. Jonah 1:1 says, "The word of the Lord came to Jonah." The word of the Lord. How many of you know that God is a God who speaks? I think one of the hardest things in growing in maturity in Christianity is recognizing God's voice versus the voice that I want to hear. But God speaks. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And in the beginning was the Word. Our God is a God who speaks. And God is still speaking today. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. And I believe the word of the Lord is going to come to you if you listen. I promise, if you listen, God is going to speak to you, and God is going to direct your steps. And sometimes what God says to you, what he directs you to do, might not be something that you want to do. So Jonah 1:1, it starts this way. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. Right? God says, hey, you're the prophet. Like, go do what prophets do. Go and preach repentance to those evil people. Call them to turn to me, because they've done horrible things. And so, what does Jonah do? If he had done what God told him to do, he could have gone and preached, and they turned to God. But Jonah did not do that. Instead, he did what a lot of us do. Verse 3 tells us this. God told him what to do, but Jonah ran away from the Lord. Jonah didn't do what God asked him to do. He did his own thing. He ran away from the Lord and was headed to Tarshish, and he went, well, which direction? Somebody help me out here. Now, if you go to the next one, there's a map. Joppa's all the way down here. And he went to Joppa, and he found a ship bound for that port. And after paying fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish in order to flee from the Lord. But here's what he did. Joppa is only about 550 miles on dry land. God told him to go to Nineveh, to the east. But he didn't do that. Instead of going east, he actually went west for 2,500 miles, all the way to Tarshish. That was a time that was as far away as possible. They hadn't explored any further. Jonah went the opposite direction. And the text tells us God told him to go to Nineveh, but Jonah found a ship that was bound for Tarshish, which leads us to this principle. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. If you want to run from God, the devil will always offer you a ride. If you want to get away from God, I promise you, you can always find a boat sailing the wrong direction. The fare will be cheap. It will be convenient. It will be an easy ride. So what did Jonah do? He ran from God. He disobeyed God. God gave him an assignment. And he said, no, I'm not doing that. But when we read this story thousands of years later, I wonder, why did he run from God? What was his reasoning? Like there's got to be some justification, because when I don't do what God says, there's a good reason why I don't do it. At least I think there's a good reason. So what was Jonah's reasoning? Because God wanted to go preach to the Ninevites, and he hated the Ninevites. He despised the Ninevites. Let me give you the context. Jonah was a Jewish Hebrew, from Israel, and Nineveh was the capital of Syria. At that time, the Assyrians and the Israelites were in conflict. If you know your biblical history, it's right about the time just before the exile. God was bringing the enemies of Israel's nation to come and conquer them because of their disobedience and their idolatry. So the Assyrians were coming to attack the Israelites. They would do a series of raids. They would come into their cities and they would blockade them, and they would come and kill all of the men that they could find, and they would rape the women. It's kind of gross. They would take the children, and anybody who was left as a survivor, they would skin them, and they would bury them in the sand up to their head. Gross, disgusting people who did horrible things. And Jonah was probably in the midst of this, watching it happen to his family, at least his neighbors. So he hated the Ninevites. And Jonah knew God's heart, a heart of forgiveness. He didn't want these people to be forgiven. The real reason he didn't go and ask them to turn to God wasn't because he was afraid of them. It was because Jonah knows God's character. He didn't want God to show favor and grace and actually forgive his enemies. So Jonah ran away from God, and he rationalized his disobedience. What does it mean to rationalize sin? He probably thought something like, wow, these people are so evil. They don't deserve that forgiveness. So I'm not doing it. If they can't hear the message, then they can't repent. And this is better off because they are so horrible, they don't deserve. When I say rationalize sin, it's when our mind makes an excuse for what our spirit knows is wrong. When our mind makes an excuse for something that God's word forbids, or we know in our spirit is wrong. And the reality is, some of you right now, you're rationalizing some sin. Maybe God asked you to do something, like you were prompted to serve somewhere, or to give something to someone, or to be a witness, or maybe to forgive someone. And you thought, I'm not ready for this. This isn't the best time. Or I don't feel like it because I have these other things. I've got these busy things in my life. They're not ready to receive what you're calling me to give God. You're putting off what God told you to do. And I want to remind you that delayed obedience is disobedience. Hey, parents in the room, you know that, right? Some of you trained your kids by counting. One, I told you to do this, Johnny. Two, in our house, that's not the way we do it. When I tell you to do it, you do it. Because I don't want one of my little girls to be running out on the street and saying, Allison, one, two, splat. That doesn't happen in my home. You listen the first time. Delayed obedience is disobedience. And a lot of times when people think about spiritual maturity, what it means to be mature in your relationship with God, a lot of us think it's Bible knowledge. Do you know your Bible? You must be a mature Christian. A lot of us think it's longevity. I've been a Christian for all of my life. That makes me a mature Christian. But longevity and knowledge are both very important. But it's not knowledge or longevity. It's what you do with that time and that knowledge. In fact, if you were to ask me to define spiritual maturity, I would say oftentimes it's the short distance, the short time between God's commands and our obedience. That's what spiritual maturity is. That when God says something, you don't argue, you don't question, you obey what he prompts you to do. And so we see the word of the Lord comes to Jonah, and Jonah ran from God. And when he ran from God, do you think his life got better, or do you think it got worse? Once he started to run from God's will, things just went downhill. In fact, it's interesting when you read through the book of Jonah, you're going to see two different directions mentioned over and over and over. You're going to see rise up and go, and then you're going to see Jonah going down, down, down. In fact, I want to show you three different verses that show this. But as we read them, I want you to read them with me. I want you to say the word down. So down, down, down. Make sense? So try it with me. Go down, down, down. Okay, let's read these verses. Jonah 1:3. Jonah went down, down, down to Joppa. And in verse 5, he says this. Jonah went down, down, down to the bottom of the ship. And chapter 2, verse 3, Jonah was thrown down, down, down to the bottom of the sea. As we read through this book, you're going to see these directions. God calls him up, but when he rebels, he goes down. And the reason I had you to do this with me was because when I first heard this sermon preached, it was by this big black man. And when he said the word down, it was like one of those four-syllable words, like, down, right? Big Southern gospel black man, and he would do these actions. He would go down, down, down. And I let me try it again. Down, down. I don't have the gifting that he has. I'm not a big black man, but you understand. It's really powerful. And he said this action. He said Jonah went down, 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 down. And what happens when you run from God is you go down, down, down. Verse 4 shows us what happens. Then here's the main character, right? Do you remember who it is? The main character is the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea. And such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. Now, who sent the storm here? God. God sent the storm. And all the sailors were afraid, and each cried out to his own God. So these sailors, the men that don't worship the true God, they worship their own gods. And they threw the cargo into the sea to lighten up the ship, but Jonah had gone below, and he went down, down, down again. He went below the deck where he lay down, and he fell asleep. And there's a lot here. First of all, what's interesting to me is that the pagan sailors, like the guys who don't believe in God at all, don't even know him, when they got afraid, they started to pray. I kind of find that humorous. I always think it's funny when people who don't believe in God, they get afraid of something and they begin to pray. I'm sure you've seen it. They do it with characters in the movies all the time. I remember watching a live news event. Like the anchor is sitting there and something is happening in the background, whether there was an explosion or an accident. And she starts with her story and she says out loud, "Jesus, help us," or "Our prayers are for you." These people who don't know Jesus are calling out to him. Maybe you've watched one of those YouTube fail videos where the kid's on his skateboard and he jumps off the building and breaks his legs on the ground, and there's some lady in the background who cries out and she says, "God help, God help." Whenever there's a disaster, whenever something bad happens, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus." And this is what the sailors did. They're in the middle of this storm and they're like, "God, wherever you are, you must exist because we have no other hope. You are the only hope that there could be. We need your help." I also want you to notice that these sailors were innocent, meaning they hadn't done anything wrong, but yet they're in the middle of a storm because God sent a storm because of Jonah's rebellion. I want you to take a moment and think about it. The sailors were suffering because a rebellious guy was on the boat. Now, if I had time, I would tell you that some of you might be struggling right now because you've got the wrong friend in your boat. Some of you, if I had some time, I might tell you you've been hanging out with Jonah. Maybe it's your feed on social media or YouTube. And anytime you're hanging out with someone who's running from God, you might find yourself in a little bit of a storm. And you might need to throw that boy off your boat. You're following people that take you away from God. And anytime you have a consistent voice in your life that's distracting you from the true God, you might need to get that voice off your boat. But here we are. We have these sailors. They're in the middle of a storm that they didn't cause, and their boat's about to break apart, and I want you to notice what Jonah is doing. Where is Jonah? He's down, 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 in the bottom of the boat, asleep. Like, notice this. His life is going what? It's going down, down. And he doesn't even notice what's happening. And this is a profoundly scary place, because when you become comfortable disobeying God, and I'm afraid that there are a lot of people, maybe even some of you, like Jonah, at this point in your life, you're becoming more comfortable in your compromise. You're running from God, you're ignoring God, and you don't even care. You have no idea that all around you, your life is starting to go down, down, down. Maybe you've been blocked, and your view is obstructed in the bottom of that boat. And you can't see what's happening because your selfish desire, your emotions are in the way that says, "I have to do this." Here you are sleeping in the bottom of the boat. And if you or someone you do know, if they know God and they're disobeying him and you're running from him, or maybe you're just becoming spiritually complacent, I've got really good news for you. And I understand that it's not going to feel like good news. But it really is good news. And this is it. God won't let you get comfortable in your sin. He will not let you get comfortable in your compromise. God will either send or he'll allow some type of consequence to get your attention whenever you're running from God. In this case, in this story, it was actually God who sent the storm. God sent the storm. Like, is that mean? Is God some kind of cruel God? Why would he do this? Well, it's actually not mean. It was kindness. Because Jonah was running away, God sent a storm to bring him back. Sometimes God sends a storm. Sometimes he allows a storm. Sometimes the devil sends the storm. Sometimes, though, you might actually bring the storm on yourself. Because sin always has consequences. I know some Christians who do the wrong thing and they end up in a bad place, and they always blame it on the devil every time. You ever heard one of those people? Oh, the devil made me do it. And I want to tell you that, yes, the devil brings some storms, but he doesn't bring every storm. Some storms you even bring on yourself, right? The devil took my job. No, you lost your job because you were always late. The devil got me in debt. No, that was you and your friend's credit card and Amazon. The devil doesn't bring every single storm. Sometimes we bring the storms on ourselves. And in this case, God actually lovingly, in his grace, sent the storm because Jonah's life was going down, down, down. And he didn't even notice because he was comfortable in his compromise. So in verse 8, we see this. They ask him, the sailors are like, hey, tell us who's responsible for making all this trouble for us. We didn't do anything wrong. And Jonah answered. He said, I am a Hebrew, and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. Like, that's almost funny. Right, like everything's going wrong, and Jonah says, I'm a Hebrew, I worship the Lord. He says he worships God, but he's not obeying God. And I wonder if that's one of the biggest problems represented in the church today. Maybe in our church, but for sure in the church in general. We claim, yeah, go Jesus, go Jesus, go Jesus. But often we're far from God, running in the wrong direction, getting our feed from the wrong guy on the boat. And the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and Jonah disobeyed the word of God. So today I want to ask you this question. I want you to ask this for yourself. Where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? Where in your life are you doing something? If you were to slow down long enough to pay attention and be honest, like financially, maybe you're not honoring God, or in your marriage, you're not treating your wife with the respect, or you're dishonoring your husband, or kids, you're not doing what mom and dad say. You're not being honorable to them. Maybe you're looking at something that you shouldn't be looking at, or following something that isn't something worth following. Whatever it is, what is it? What area of your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? Because the God of the Bible calls us to confess it, to pray about it, to turn away from it. Don't claim to worship God and then go and do whatever you want. Verse 11 tells us this. The sea was getting rougher and rougher. So they asked Jonah, what should we do to you to make this sea calm down? Like, Jonah, you must know the plan because you know the God. In other words, this is not our fault. What do we need to do about it? These men of action who want to respond. And watch this, how sad this response is. Jonah says this. He says, hey, pick me up and throw me into the sea. In other words, I know this is all my fault, that God is bringing this judgment because of me. Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and it will become calm. I know it's my fault that this great storm has come upon you. And Jonah says, it's my bad. It's my bad. I brought it on. And I want you to see how heartbreaking this is, how sad this is. And I want you to feel the sadness because I want to say this to you lovingly and not harshly. Because this is where some of you are right now. Jonah was God's chosen prophet, and he's so far from God, so depressed that he no longer cares if he lives or dies. It's all my fault. Throw me overboard. It's heartbreaking because God chose Jonah, and God called Jonah, and Jonah ran from God, and his life went down, down. And there might be someone here and you said, yes, I trust you, Jesus. You trusted your life to him. You made him Lord and you said, I want to please you in all I do. But lately you've been avoiding him. Doing your own thing. God said, go this way. And you said, I've got a good reason to go that way. And you've been doing it for so long that now you've grown comfortable. And maybe life's not going so well right now and you get mad at God. And I tell you, the devil didn't send that storm. Maybe you brought it on yourself. God called you and you're running from God and now you're stuck in a storm. We get there when we ignore God and we end up in a place where we never ever wanted to be. Depressed. Hopeless. We can't see a way out. And we wonder, is it even worth it to try again? And then we start looking for somebody to blame. It must be the sailor's fault. Or maybe it's the Ninevites' fault. Or no, it's God's fault. It couldn't be my fault, because when the word of the Lord came to us and we went our own way, and Jonah, comfortable in his compromise, loses all hope, and he says, I give up. Throw me in. And what's crazy is in modern terms, like if we were to put it in today's life, we'd say the guys on the boat, they're not Christians, but they were actually trying to do the right thing. And Jonah, in modern terms, would have been the Christian, and he was the one that was disobeying God. So we've got these pagan sailors, and they don't want to do it, but when they had no other choice and the storm gets worse, they finally, in verse 15, it tells us this, they took Jonah and they threw him overboard. And the moment they did that, I want you to imagine this. They're in a storm and they know this guy's rebelling against God. So they throw him overboard and instantly the sea goes calm. At this, the men, they're like, what? What? They greatly feared the main character of the story. They greatly feared. Not like we're afraid of the dark. Like, it's not just that reverent kind of, oh, we're coming into a sacred place, let's be quiet. No. That is so powerful that I don't know what to do with this. Like, I am terrified of what just happened. They greatly feared the Lord, and they offered a sacrifice. They made vows to God. They looked on and they thought, any God who can do this is a God that we need to know and worship. And any God that is this powerful is a God that we want to surrender our lives to. And I love how even in Jonah's disobedience, even in the worst place he could ever be, down, 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 God used his life as a testimony to the unbelievers who were watching. If God has ever reached out to you, the word of the Lord, if it has ever come to you, and you've just stepped away. I want to tell you about that God. I want to tell you about his goodness. You see, our God is our refuge and strength. He is our ever-present help in times of trouble. His name is a strong fortress, and the righteous run to it, and they're kept safe. Our God gives strength to the weary, and he increases the power of the weak. Our God is a compassionate God who heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Our God is a generous God who meets all of your needs according to his glorious riches found in Jesus Christ. Our God is a good God, and he does have an enemy, Satan, the liar, the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but our God sent his son, whose name is Jesus, who came so that you could have life and have life to the full. When you seek God, when you call on him, you will find him. He is a good God who will be with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And church, a God like this is a God that we want to know. He's a God that we want to worship. He's a God worthy of our reverence. And I want to fear God like that. Not the terrified because he's so powerful, although he is, but the reverent because I know who he is and he has called me. We fear God like that. Because our God is holy. He's not some Santa Claus in the sky. He's God, the Lord of all. And so when the word of the Lord comes, I want to say, yes, Lord. When the word of the Lord comes, I want us to say, yes, Lord, here I am. May it be done according to your word. A God like that is a God that we want to give our lives to. To honor, worship, fear, trust, obey, and surrender. So here's our story. Jonah's overboard. He's in the water, and he doesn't have a life jacket. There's no little dinghy boat coming his way. It's not the inflatable whatever. Do not collect $200. It's game over. Why? Because the word of the Lord came to him and he ran from God. The word of the Lord is coming to you. God is a loving God. He's a God who speaks. God is going to speak to you. The word of the Lord is coming to you. So again, I want to ask you, in what area of your life, where in your life are you rationalizing sin and running from God? Because today I want us to acknowledge it, to confess it, and turn from it. And I want to say very, very sincerely, if you are someone that has never known God, then turn to him. Call out to him. Just try it. Just if you're there, reveal yourself to me, God. Just tell him that. Reveal yourself to me. And then buckle your seatbelt. Because it's an amazing ride. And if you've ever strayed from God, I'm going to tell you, please stop. Please stop running from him. Turn back to him because he loves you. He's ready to receive you. Maybe you're sitting there and you know God and you love God, but you've just drifted away. It's been a hard season. And you become comfortable in your compromise. God, I don't have enough strength to give it my best anymore, so I will just do what I have to do. It's time to stop running and turn to God. A God who is this good, this powerful, this gracious, this God worthy of our love, our worship, our fear, our obedience. A God that good is a God that you will want to know and a God that you will want to worship. So Father, today, we ask that you would do what only you can do. And if you're sitting there and you're willing to pray that prayer, would you just lift up your hand and say, God, do what only you can do. Show me where I'm rationalizing sin. Show me where I'm running from you. I'll pray that. I want to pray it right now. And pray it, just pray it with me. Just say, God, show me. Show me, God. Because I might be blind to it, and I don't want to be blind to it. I want to follow each of your steps and not have me in the way. Just pray it out loud. You can even say it in your head. You can whisper it. You can say, God, show me any area. Show me any sin, anything that I'm rationalizing, anything that I'm justifying, saying that this is a just reason why I'm doing it. Any area of disobedience, any place I'm running from you. And then listen. Be sensitive. Just listen to what God is saying. If there's an area that you want to push back and you say, no, not that area, that corner's not, then that's probably the area you need to pay most attention to. Now, if God is showing you something, I just want to ask very lovingly, because I care so much about you, what are you going to do about what God is showing you? The word of the Lord is coming to you. God is going to speak to you. What are you going to do with what God shows you? God, would you speak to us? Jesus, would you give us the courage to obey? In churches, we keep praying. Maybe some of you are like the sailors. The sailors would kind of pray in times of need, but they didn't know God intimately. They found themselves in a place where they needed help. And when they saw the goodness and the reality and the power of the one God who so loved the world and sent his son, Jesus, that whoever believes in him, calls on him, would not perish, but would have eternal life. Not because we're good, but because he is that good. Because it's his will, his desire, his heart that no one would suffer and perish. And there's some of us here who I would call like cultural Christians. I go to church sometimes, but I'm not fully in. Or I show up often, but I've never participated more than just showing up. And all of a sudden you realize this God, this is the God that I want to obey. This is the God, I want to know him. And you might recognize that you don't. And you're not walking with him, you're just watching. You don't have this peace. You don't know where you stand with God. And today we're going to turn from our own will and we're going to say yes. Yes to his goodness. Because when you call on the name of Jesus, God will hear your prayer. He will forgive your sins. He will make you brand new. And that's why we come. That's why we're here today. Jesus, I'm ready. I need it. I need a God that is a God that I want to know. I need a God that is worthy of my worship. I want to worship you. So today I'm turning from my life. I'm surrendering it to you. Jesus, I'm dead to myself, and I will come and be who you want me to be. Be my Savior. Be the Lord of my life. So would you pray with me? Would you do the repeat after me prayer? And not just to use your words, but to put your heart into it. So I'll say a line and I would have you repeat it and believe it. Here we go. Heavenly Father, I trust you. A God like you is a God I want to know. A God I want to worship. I commit to serving you. So Jesus, forgive me of my sins. Save me. Be the Lord of my life. I trust you. Fill me with your Spirit so I can serve you always. Thank you for the new life you give. I give you all of mine. And in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Church, would you sing and would you worship with us? Here it goes. Song is to be a response to who God is and what He's done. I know that sometimes it takes a little while to process these things. The answer doesn't come immediately every time. So if you need some time to pray, the altar's open. If you need some space, just you and the Holy Spirit, you can come. If you need prayer, sometimes these journeys can't be done alone. And sometimes when we try and do them alone, we just spiral and we make it worse. So I would love to pray with you. And if I'm not the right person, then find someone sitting next to you, or a friend, a family member, someone else in the church. But I want to give you that opportunity to say, Jesus, this is more than just me sitting here receiving. This is me participating, responding. So be blessed. You're dismissed. Enjoy your lunch. Come back tonight for the upper room, 6 o'clock. And the altar is open. Come and meet with God. The one that the sailors feared, the one that Jonah ran from, the one that brings salvation.